Welcome once again to Wonderfilled Stories. If you have your copy of Secrets of the Sofa, go ahead and pull that out and open to Chapter 4, because that's where we will be reading today. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you are willing to work hard and do whatever it takes in order to get it? Now, there are a lot of people that want a lot of different things, but when it comes to actually working hard to try to earn what it is that you want, they're just not that invested. Now, don't get me wrong. Being content with what you have is a wonderful thing. But if there's something that you really, really have your heart set on, you will be willing to work hard in order to make it happen, to make your dream come true. That's really how you know what you really want versus what you just kind of think would be cool. I don't think I have to say any more. Let's go ahead with Chapter 4. Chapter 4, The Sofa. The boys pedaled slowly toward Jace's house, singing and laughing. Davy, always the show-off on his Diamondback stunt bike, was practicing a trick he saw in a magazine and failing miserably. His bike was new a year ago and already wobbled and squeaked due to dozens of daily wipeouts. As they passed the Wiki estate sale again, the unpleasant man was packing up boxes in his large pickup truck. The ugly old couch still sat in the driveway with the large sign on it. The price of $50 had been scratched out and changed to $25. Finally, someone with a large red marker had written $10 over the whole sign. Kai screeched to a stop, dropped his bike at the end of the driveway, and hopped off in the same motion. He stood over the old sofa, pondering. Jace and Davy were soon by his side.
"Woo, baby, now we're talking."
Davy was the first to speak. "Too bad we don't have the cashola, huh, Jace?" He nudged his friend with a bony elbow.
"I almost have enough to buy a Sega, dude."
Jace protested, but felt the resolve to keep his money slowly ebbing.
"Don't you want to play Reggie Jackson baseball?"
"Wait, that's not what you said before," Kai said, pointing out his dithering excuse.
"I thought you said you were saving for a new bike."
I am. My dad might be testing to see if I can save the money." Jace was flustered as he tried to explain himself.
"When I have saved my half, he may pay for the entire bike. He did something similar with my brother's computer. That would leave me enough to get a Sega, too."
"Come on, man. You can play Nintendo at Kai's house anytime, as long as his dad isn't watching sports." Davy caressed the dusty couch.
"But this is a game changer. Imagine, it would fit perfectly under the skylight. We wouldn't have to sit on cardboard boxes anymore."
"You mean I wouldn't have to sit on cardboard boxes?" Jace jabbed a thumb into his own chest. "If I pay for it, I get to use it." Ignoring the demand, Davy continued to sell the idea.
"We could stretch an electric cord out to the fort and show movies. We could charge admission like a theater."
Kai jumped into the conversation. "Actually, the electrical resistance in the extension cord will only carry power about 100 feet. Beyond that, a cord leaks power like a cracked hose leaks water. By the time the electricity reached the fort, there wouldn't be enough juice to power a light bulb, much less a TV and VCR."
"That's not the point, Kai," Davy barked. "The fact is, this sofa represents a world of possibilities."
Jace wasn't certain about the possibilities a crusty old couch might represent, but found himself convinced anyway. Pretending to ponder the decision for a moment, he finally relented.
"Okay, Let's do it. Without another word, Kai went to tell the man running the garage sale that they would take the sofa. Davy took a flying leap and landed in the middle of the couch with a thud. Yeesh, this thing could use a little extra padding. What did you say? Jace had focused his attention on surveying the old piece of furniture for rips and tears. I said I'll stay here and make sure no one buys it while you are fundraising. Davy squinted as he smiled. Jace and Kai quickly pedaled home to shake the money out of his apple cider jug while Davy stretched out in the sun. He opened a hardcover book, Bush Pilots of Alaska, which he'd borrowed from a nearby table, stretched out and waited for his friends to return. 15 minutes later, Jace arrived carrying a handful of dollar bills. Kai followed, dragging a two-wheeled moving dolly behind him. In no time, they had paid for the sofa and were discussing the best way to move the bulky piece of furniture.
That thing needs to be gone today,
the disagreeable man working the garage sale reminded the boys as they pondered their dilemma.
If it's still here tonight, I'm going to douse it with gasoline and set it on fire.
He guffawed at his brash statement. Yep, we got it, sir, Jace replied with a fake smile.
What a puke face,
Davy mumbled under his breath. Kai elbowed him sharply in the ribs. Thank you, sir, Kai added for good measure while waving politely. Wedging the flat toe plate of the dolly under one end of the couch, Kai pulled back on the handle and hoisted it off the ground. He then ordered Jace and Davy to lift the other end as he steered.
The boys grunted
under the weight of the heavy piece of furniture, while Kai hung off the back of the hand truck as a counterbalance. As they worked under the hot afternoon sun, sweat dripped down their faces. The boys struggled to move the piece of furniture a few dozen feet at a time, for they would need a break to allow blood to flow back into their aching fingers and arms.
I saw a book in the library that showed how the Egyptians built the pyramids. 100 workers were pulling a stone block the size of a bus,
Jace said as he shook his aching hands.
If they could move thousands of huge blocks, then we can move this couch.
Millions, Kai commented as he casually stripped the leaves off a thin branch while the two laborers rested.
Millions of what? Davy asked.
Millions of blocks in the pyramids, not thousands. Kai swished his bare stick through the air like a whip. There are over 2 million blocks in the Great Pyramid alone.
Good grief, Jace was astonished. That must have taken them hundreds of years to finish.
20, Kai added with a wry smirk.
20 hundred years?
Davy was confused.
No, 20 years,
Kai clarified. Jace was trying to make sense of the large numbers.
They must have really been working fast.
My dad and I did the math one morning at breakfast, Kai explained. They would have had to lay one massive block every 3 minutes for 20 years straight.
No breaks? Davy asked. That's impossible.
Believe it or not, that's what the archaeologists say. Kai began to rattle the dolly under the frame of the sofa. Let's get going. With a groan, Davy and Jace hoisted the couch again, and they were on their way. The sun arched across the sky as the team edged the prize deeper into the woods. Dripping with sweat, they finally heaved the old sofa into the clearing. Looking up at the tree, Davy had a moment of panic.
How are these pulleys going to help us get it up to the fortress?
Mechanical advantage, Kai said confidently, as he ran to a bucket and pulled out the two rusty pulleys and a coil of rope. Ascending the ladder, he tossed down one end of the long rope. This is everything we need. He instructed Jace to tie the first pulley around the frame of the sofa as he hooked the other to a sturdy branch above the fortress. Davy tossed the cushions to the side to lighten the load as Kai wove the rope through the pulleys. After tying a quick knot, he gave the rope a firm tug. The front of the couch hopped obediently off the ground with each pull. This setup will double our strength.
Wow,
That's impressive, Jace admitted. If we had two more pulleys, it would be even easier, Kai called from above. You pull the rope from down there, and I will guide it when it gets up here. The boys pulled with all their strength, and the sofa leaped off the ground and rose to the height of the platform with surprising ease. Guiding the large piece of furniture into place, Kai unhooked it and gave a thumbs up over the side to the guys below. They dropped the rope and each grabbed a cushion to drag up the ladder. You've got to go get your own cushion, Kai, Jace said as he grunted and pulled at the bulky pillow. Kai quickly scrambled down, grabbed the remaining cushion, and pulled it up the ladder. This one has a broken zipper, Davy proclaimed, as he hoisted the cushion into the fort. Pulling at the zipper, the small metal tab broke off in his hand. Slightly disgusted, he stared at the gaping foam padding protruding from the wounded zipper, and noticed something else sticking out. At first he thought it was a green tag, sewn to the inside of the seam. But giving it a little tug, he realized it was the corner of a $20 bill. Davy pulled it and looked in wide-eyed wonder at what he was holding. Guys, look what I just found. He held up a bill and waved it in front of their faces. Where was that? Jace grabbed at the money. Davy pulled it away as Jace continued to try to take it from him. It was in the cushion, he confessed. Wait, let me see it. Jace called a truce. Davy backed up and held the bill up for inspection. Jace grabbed at it again, but Davy was too quick and pulled it away, laughing. That is mine, Jace protested. I paid for the sofa. It is all of ours, Kai corrected. The sofa belongs to the fortress. It was in my cushion, Davy added. It's not your cushion, Davy. It's just the cushion you dragged up, Kai continued. We can pay you back, Jace, but then we have to use the rest for the fortress. Jace agreed to the terms, and the excited boys began dancing around, dreaming of the things they could buy with the money. While Jace and Davy continued to prattle, Kai grabbed some safety pins from a jar on the shelf and turned his attention to fixing the gaping cushion. How about an elevator? Jace laughed. An elevator? Davy cocked an eyebrow. How much money do you think we have? Not like a real elevator, Jace tried to clarify. A Swiss Family Robinson elevator. We could use those pulleys. Guys, Kai tried to get their attention. Or we could install some anti-intruder measures, Davy added, like some booby traps or a moat. Guys, a flag. We could get a flag that we could fly. It's a hidden fortress, doofus. Why would we call attention to it? I don't think so. Guys! Kai hollered over the debate, and both boys looked suddenly at their friend. In both fists, he held wads of bills of all values. Fives, tens, and twenties stuck out between his fingers, and an avalanche of cash spilled out of the gaping cushion.
Thanks again for joining us for Wonderfield Stories Podcast. If you haven't checked us out on jasonsoul.com, I encourage you to do that. If you can support what we're doing here by becoming part of the Wonder Club. Wonderfield Stories is more than a podcast. It's a moment of wonder shared between kids and parents in the middle of everyday life. So thanks for making this part of your day. Remember, choices made are choices lived with. Make good choices, you can live with good consequences, and not the other way around. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you again real soon.